Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we were talking about the fact that we will be opposed by religious people when we try to stand for God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Moses went to Egypt in faith. He went there at the leading of the Lord. It is by God's word to him that he goes. He's told in chapter 3, verse 19, the king of Egypt will oppose him. Just like Jesus told us for our day, that most often religious people would persecute us when we stand for him. Now, by the way, have you thought about the fact that the 10 plagues of Egypt included in each plague gods who were worshipped in Egypt as serpents, lice, frogs, and so forth? God was judging their gods to show the Egyptians actually there is only one true God. And we see that the man of God who carries out the will of God is persecuted by the religious. As 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It'd only get worse. Moses knows God's will. He also knows the king will oppose him. But the first time there is opposition, and they suffer for it, Moses goes to God in prayer to find out if this is what God really wants. Okay, we can be told, oh, there's persecution, there's this, there's that, but until you experience it, you really don't know it. But my friend, if you're going to do the will of God and you're going to step out in faith, you can count on it that you will be opposed. Never in God's work, never, never expect to be unopposed. Now, sometimes as I preach the truth, I know that those who obey God will go home and they'll find family and friends, for that matter, who are angry and they're opposed. But if we know the will and word of the Lord in a matter, we must press forward if it's going to be a true work of faith. You see, in the mouth, it will taste sweet, but oftentimes, it makes the belly bitter. I'll preach on storehouse tithing, offering, and faith promise, and people will start doing that when they could do more stuff for themselves with that money that they're suddenly putting towards the Lord. And now their tithing, their offering, their giving has become a work of faith. They're not just giving a token tenth. No. Now they're joyful givers. They're hilarious givers. They want to give to the Lord's work. They want to do as much as they can, and they do it cheerfully so, and they do with less in order to do more for the Lord, and it's a blessing to their heart. There are those in churches that have special days. It might be a homecoming day, a friend day, or roundup, or some other type of a day. And people invite others, and they work because it's a work of faith. We are soldiers on a mission. And we know that the mission is for souls. Those who have a living faith have also a working faith. They will seek to compel others to come in, that the Lord's house may be full, and that the unsaved will hear the saving gospel of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we also must keep in mind 1 Corinthians 16:9, where it says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Are you walking through that door, inviting others, tithing, praying, witnessing, faithful to God's house, and now you're getting opposition? Well, Moses got it, and Jesus said you would get it too. And you must decide what you believe and for what you stand. You must have eternity set in your heart. I live in the United States of America, in the state of Florida. An ABC News poll, October 5th through the 9th of 2005, found these results. 89% of Americans believe in heaven. 75% believe they will go there. The title of the report is 9 in 10 Americans Believe in Heaven. It was posted with ABC News on December 20th, 2005. The survey found that 79% of the respondents think of themselves as Christians. Of those who believe in heaven, a whopping 78% think it's a place where people exist only spiritually. 60% of those surveyed believe that heaven is open to Christian and non-Christian alike. In other words, you don't have to be saved to go there. Now, here's people that think that, oh yeah, there's a real heaven, but 78%, almost 8 in 10 of them believe, well, it's only a spiritual thing. That means there's no resurrection of the body and a glorified body given. And 60% of those believe, that is 6 in 10 believe, you don't necessarily have to be saved to go. That tells us there's an absence of sound doctrine in this country. There needs to be a work of faith. If you want to prove this, go in your neighborhood. Survey about 3 blocks and ask people, what do you believe is necessary to go to heaven? And with the many different answers, with few of them being a Bible answer, you'll be awakened to the fact that America is religious, but not right. She's superstitious, but not saved. And you realize that in many ways, our country needs missionaries, and we are those that God has called. You see, when you start telling people there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not a Baptist way, it's not a Catholic way, it's not a Mormon way, nor any other way. It's through Christ and Christ alone. People get mad. They hate that doctrine. They say there are many roads to heaven. No, Jesus said, I am the way. Preacher was illustrating how he was on visitation, and he asked the lady about her salvation and started talking to her, and she says, well, preacher, we live in this city, and she started naming the various highways that go into the city, interstates, superhighways, and things of that nature. And after she named off about 5, 6, or 7 of them, she says, you see, there's many ways into this city, and yet it's the same city. And so he took the name of the city, and he says, yes, ma'am, but when I die, I'm not coming to this city. I'm wanting to go to heaven. And Jesus said, there's only one way. And he was right. He was so right. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, he says, in this first part of 1 Thessalonians 1:3, that they remember without ceasing their work of faith, and the next, their labor of love. Now, it almost sounds like the use of the same words to say work and labor. But there is a difference. Labor here is used to denote not so much the actual exertion as the word work would. Rather, it refers to the weariness which we may experience from all the exertion. It designates that which we should render to the Lord as saved people, laboring in Christian ministry. This then speaks of effort that makes us weary from the labor, not weary in the labor. The Bible tells us to not be weary in well-doing. Well, don't be weary in the labor or weary of it. Be weary from it. You've worked hard and you're tired. The Christian is never heard to say, that is, the one who is Christ-like, is never heard to say, I was too tired to go to church last night. You see, his love for Christ just does not allow it. I had a man who was a deacon in my church and was our Sunday school superintendent. It was Wednesday night. We have a once-a-year administrative meeting in which we appoint various officers, and his name was on the list to be the Sunday school superintendent again. And we knew that he had but a short time. This man would come to every church service. His liver was basically gone. He was yellow. He would just walk a few steps and be out of breath, and yet he would walk over the entire area of our complex and gather up the books from each class and take them in for counting. The last Wednesday night that he was at church, he walked up and he said, Brother Andy, you better remove my name from being Sunday school superintendent. My doctor says he doesn't think I'm going to make it much longer. He was right. The next Wednesday, I was preaching his funeral. You know, here's a man who lived in pain, who had to push himself, but he served God to the very end. You know what's so great about that? Another man with cancer, seeing what this man was doing and enduring, did the same thing till his final day. He tried to drive a bus as long as he could to bring boys and girls to church. He would do his best to be in God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even though he'd be in great pain. And you see, their love for the Lord Jesus Christ was such that they couldn't say, oh, I was just too tired to go to church. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.